All right, we have been going through the book of Acts, and we've made it to chapter 3. Taken us a little while, but we got sidetracked because a couple of things took a little bit longer than we really intended to. But we want to try to look at a lot of things that are applied to the church in the book of Acts. In chapter 3, this is, I'm just going to read it real quick, all right? It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which would have been about 3 p.m. in the afternoon for the evening sacrifice. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. If you remember the structure of the temple and the whole temple grounds, it was quite large, probably 25 acres. And when you got to the temple part, it had a big porch all the way around on all corners with columns. And then at different points all the way around, there was a door for women and a door for this and a door for this where they could get in. And then once you get in that part, there was a large court on the inside that was open. And then when you started to go into the actual temple area where only the Israelites or the priests or the different ones could go, you had this big set of gates. A big set of doors, which was what he's talking about here when he says the beautiful gate. Josephus tells us, he's the only one that really elaborates on it, the Jewish historian, he said that they were quite large. Actually, they were about 75 feet tall, 60 foot wide, and they were made out of Corinthian brass overlaid with gold. It took 20 men to open them. The way they folded, it's humongous, okay? And that was the place where normally if anybody was going to give money, it would be through the gate. So this is where the beggar is sitting. He can't go in. You know, only certain people can go in, and he can't go in. But, you know, if you're going to go where somebody's going to give their money, that's where you want to sit, right? Hello? Yeah, that's where that was. So that's why he's there. So Peter and John are about to go in there, and there he is sitting there. That is the context of the temple and what's happening there. And he saw them, and he said, well, give me some money. You know, basically that's what alms is, giving money. And Peter fastened his eyes. It means they stared at him. Actually, it's what the word means. It's very intensely. They just both gazed at him. They stared at him, and they said, look at us. Look at us. They know he's wanting a handout, and he says, he gave heed unto them. He looked back at them, expecting that they were about to fill his coffer full of money. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, can you imagine? You're sitting there, and the background is a 60-foot gate covered with gold, overlaid in gold and brass, and probably they say when the sun was shining on, it's the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life. So he's sitting there, and Peter and John are both poor as Job's turkey. They don't have anything. So he's sitting there, and he says, Peter says, oh, we don't have any money, but such as we have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus. He said, we have what you need. I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And he took him by the right hand. He reached down. Peter reached down and took his right hand. And he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered with them into the temple area, the big porch area. I mean, the open area, not in the going past the beautiful gate, but in that big open spot, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, that it tells us in another place in Acts, he's 40 years old. So he hadn't walked, it says lame from his birth, so he hadn't walked ever. And now everybody's been seeing him here because he's begging there every day. And now he's jumping up and he's walking and leaping and he's praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they took knowledge of him. They noted of it. They said, oh, yeah, we know this guy. That it was he that sat from alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. Now he's walking. You know, Jesus gave his disciples everything they would need to fulfill the task that he started. You know, that's what we saw at Pentecost. Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to give you this and this and this. So this is exactly what we see in the book of Acts. The church is being born and it's taken off, and here we go. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes. Matter of fact, in the early service, it took all the time. I don't know if it'll do that today. I guess it will. To preface this healing, because there's so much confusion about healing today. I don't know if any of you have ever been healed by a faith healer or not, but there was a guy, if you remember the movie, The Leap of Faith, with Steve Martin in it. I think maybe they pulled from this actual thing that happened in 1986. There was a guy in California named Greg Popoff. Any of you older people know who that is? Some of you, who's never heard of it? Okay, he was a Robert Tilton or one of these other faith healers. Who were the other ones, all these big name faith healers? Benny Hinn. He was one of those. And draw a lot of crowds, and, you know, they would come, and he would heal them, and he'd be specific, you know. He said, we got a lady sitting back there on aisle J, and she's got a, you know, it's kind of amazing when you look at all these things. They're always psychosomatic healings. They don't heal any blind people. They don't heal any deaf people. They always heal these things that somehow connect to, well, I got a sore back. All right, well, take some Advil or something, you know, same thing, right? And that's exactly what goes on. You don't ever see those true things. And this is what he was doing. And it should have been a Christian that went through that and said, this is a bunch of garbage. Why? Because they're misleading people. You know, some people fuss at me sometimes when I get off on Joel Gregory and Anley Stanley. Somebody needs to make sure everybody understands what's going on there. You can call me the bad guy if you want to. It should have been some Christians instead of ABC that went out there, ABC News. They took note of this thing, and they interviewed people. Nobody would come in and say, oh, no, this is fake. So here's what they do. They realize you got a faith healer who's wearing a hearing aid. Hello? They don't seem to go together, does it? Well, it made them suspicious. So they go in there with a radio, what do you call those things? No, you go in there to, it checks radio waves so you can find, like a scanner. And they went in with this, and unbeknown to anybody, they went in there to see if somebody was transmitting a radio signal, so they picked it up, and it was his wife who was speaking through a microphone to him in his ear and telling him who was sitting where, just like they did in Leap of Faith. You know, that's what it was. It was a scam. The whole thing was a scam. And they went in and they proved it. You know, whenever people would come in and they would write down what their problem was, and his wife would take note of it, and she was the one that was sending the message. You know, we have a lady in J4 that has a back problem. So he stands up and, the Lord's telling me in J4 we have a lady with a back problem. That's right. It must be God. Ain't that right? Matter of fact, somebody in the early service had bought what I'm about to read to you. You think, well, once they proved this guy's wrong, surely he kept doing it. No, no, no. He's got a website up today. They did this in 1986. How many years ago was that? A lot. Here's what the website says. Miracle spring water. This person actually bought some of this stuff. All right? Note, do not ingest the miracle spring water. Probably came out of the sewer. The miracle spring water is a powerful biblical point of contact. Almost all of the miracles in both the Old and the New Testaments happened when a point of contact was used. I believe the miracle spring water will help you to use and release your faith as we agree together about the miracle that you need. Prayer is a powerful thing, he says in Matthew 18:19. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on anything at all you ask it, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. As we pray and believe together for your breakthrough, God will get involved in your situation, and breakthrough will happen in your life and in the lives of your loved ones. Use a miracle spring water as a faith tool to remind you of God's amazing, miraculous power. You are not alone. God is with you, and I am praying for you to experience His amazing and awesome love and healing strength. So many people have already used the miracle spring water, and their lives have been changed. Let me send you the miracle spring water that I have anointed and prayed over for you. Down at the bottom. Seed faith donation, $17.99. He ain't going to give you the water free. But you got to, what is that? That's a sham. You say, why? Because we're gullible. This person actually told me this morning that they were just desperate. They were reaching out for anything to try to meet their need. And they saw this and they bought it. When their spouse saw it, they said, what are you doing with that? And threw it in the trash because it was crazy. It's fake. Now, I'm prefacing this. We won't get to actually the healing today probably. But because it's such a misinterpreted, confusing thing today about healing, we're going to talk about it a little bit before we actually look at that situation where Peter and John healed this guy. All right? He gave them everything they needed. And I'll be the first one to tell you, you might not agree with me on this. A lot of Pentecostals and Charismatics, they don't. I believe a lot of these gifts, specifically in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, were given to the apostles, who no longer exist in that manner. And I believe some of those gifts that they could exercise, we don't have anymore. That's what I believe. Why? And we're going to look at why in just a minute. I could be wrong. It's not going to keep anybody out of heaven or hell. But that's what I think, all right? Just because of what the reason is about it. Jesus did miracles for a reason, to get people's attention. And that was the purpose of it. Same thing here. From that very first day that the church was born, it was born on Pentecost when all those people came. Well, the church, from a community standpoint, existed in the Old Testament, but not since the resurrection of Christ had it been like that. So it started in a different way, and God intended it the whole time. When the Spirit of God gave to its members of the church by which they could build up the body. That's what the apostles were. What does it say? And we saw it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, chapter 2, and kept doing those things because Jesus had instructed them they are supposed to carry it on. And with that, during that time, they had some special gifts that I don't think we have anymore. Not biblically the way it's done, especially healing. God knew exactly what they had to be, some kind of confirmation. Something. When Jesus did a miracle, it was to get people's attention. And he healed a lot of people. And he did a lot of things that we do not even have recorded in the scripture, right? Of his witness. So that during his time or lifetime, he said a lot of things, but he did a lot of things. Remember what the Bible says? If everything that Jesus ever did was recorded, what? There wouldn't be enough books on the earth to record it. He did a lot of stuff, okay? And God moved upon these writers to give us exactly the ones that we need. And this is one of those miracles that God moved on Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, to pen, to put it down. He said, it's not only a matter of what words that I say, Jesus said, but I need some things for you to see in order to validate that the Messiah has come. Because Isaiah said that already. He said, when you see these things happen, you know that the Messiah has come. When people jump up and they leap and they run like deer, just like this man does. You know, immediately he's healed and he starts to do this. Nicodemus said this. He said, what? We? Boy, that's a loaded pronoun. And I ain't talking about this I am they. I ain't talking about that nonsense. I am us or we it or whatever. That's just crazy hellish stuff is all that is. I'm talking about when he says we, who is he talking about? We the Pharisees? We the religious community? Who is we? We'll get into that one another day, all right? We know. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, not because of what you say only, but what? Because you're doing things that only God could do. Then why didn't they believe? Well, we think he did become a believer, but a lot of the rest of them saw it didn't. So Christ himself proved his own ministry by certain miracles. He needed some validation. When the Messiah comes, the Old Testament told us, when it happens, this is going to happen, this is going to come, this is going to be there, we're going to see it. Chapter 3 is kind of an illustration of what said was going to happen in chapter 2. So now we're starting to see it unfold, what was proclaimed that was going to happen. And it's just one illustration throughout everything that was done where the Holy Spirit chose to show how the miracle gift of healing was right there with the gospel message. And it was. He says, in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Benny Hinn. Not in the name of Robert Tilton. Y'all remember him? Lord have mercy. When they finally stopped him, he had taken in $80 million that year for a healing ministry by selling prayer handkerchiefs. You know, while I was in Dallas, they had already gotten on to him and shut him down. But he still, you could turn on television, on regular TV, and like 4 o'clock in the morning, he was still on channel. Why? Boy, God's going to spank them boys one day. I mean, before he damns them. That's what that means, all right? There's much confusion about healing and what the Bible says about it. You say, well, that's your take. That's exactly what I'm telling you. This is what I think it is. If you don't agree with me, fine. But just have some reasons why. You know, always be able to back up from Scripture what you think something is. That's why we're supposed to know. That's why I think we need to take this time to look at it a little bit before we actually start looking at it. Because we see quite a few of these in the book of Acts. The typical healing movement today, as it has been around for a long, long time, is always based on Isaiah 53. And it's this, by his stripes we're healed. That covers everything. That means atonement means that God has to heal me and he has to heal everybody that believes. That's not what that means. That's not even the context of what that means. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it was to pay for our sins. Because there's a lot of people, as we're going to see, they never get healed. They die. And even after Jesus healed a few of them, guess what? They still died. Why? Because that's coming. How many faith healers die? All of them. You know, somebody was telling me this morning, and I would call their name, but y'all would know some of them. Years ago, this man's daughter went to a church where they did a lot of healing practices, you know, healing meetings. I've been to a few of those, and they were not biblical by any means. If you use the Bible as your guideline, these were not. So I've been there and experienced some of them. I'm thinking, man, this is a circus. And that's what it was. Anyway, this girl shows up the next day, and he asks us, what happened to your arm? My arm's in slings. She broke her arm. So he said, what in the world happened? He said, well, they were having healing service the other night, and whenever the preacher hit this lady on the head, and I've seen it, man, when they touch them there, they just, boom, go back. And whenever this lady fell back, she hit this other lady, knocked her down on the floor, and broke her arm. So this guy asked her, says, why didn't you go back up to the front and let him heal her? Huh? Well, that ain't the way it works. Then how does it work? How does it work? You see what I'm talking about? The typical movement is this. Oh, by his stripes are we healed, so he has to heal us. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to do anything. And even in this Peter and John, it's God's sovereignty that chose to heal this guy at this time. Peter couldn't control it. John couldn't control it. They were just the channel at which God used to do that, to show his power. Healers have historically used this to mean that the atonement is always physical healing for everybody. Oh, you just, God has to heal you. You just have to claim it. You ever heard this one? Man, I think I'm getting cold. Well, just don't receive it. Like I can stop it. I might take zinc and some other stuff, but I'm in a fallen nature body, so I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die. That is a gross misinterpretation of Isaiah chapter 53. And it's not what it means, but that's what they use. Oh, we have to. You're talking about out of context. Good night. Centuries out of context. Christ died for the ills of the body? No, but for the sin of the world, our physical, our spiritual sin. Did he heal some people? Yes. Does he heal everybody? No. You ever lost a loved one? Yeah. Did you ever pray for them? Yeah. Did they die? Yeah, they did. So what does that mean? If there was healing in the atonement, somebody sure should have told Paul, right? Remember Paul? Has there ever been a godlier man on the earth than Paul? Wrote over half the New Testament, God used him. Missionary. Remember what he does? He has an ailment. We don't really know what it is. Everybody speculates. His eyesight. I don't know what it is. He's got a thorn in the flesh. He has something that's constantly bothering him. And it's almost like, bless her heart, my mama. She died at 80. In her last years, she just said, you know, I don't think I should hurt all the time. I said, Mama, I'm 40. I hurt all the time. Why do you think you should be out of it? You live in a fleshly body. Why do you think every day you're going to get up and not hurt some, right? Paul had a problem, and he said, this is another thing that some of these people come to us. Well, if you just pray one time and believe, it's a sin to pray again. I've had them tell me that. I said, what about Paul? Did Paul pray one time and quit? No. Paul prayed how many times? He prayed three times specifically, and God never healed him. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient, because in your weakness, you'll depend on me, and I'll be made strong. You know, you ever thought, we won't get that far in this, but have you ever thought that God may sometimes find it joyful when we get sick? Because a lot of times, he ain't going to teach you anything if you're doing well. Unless you get broke every now and then, you won't appreciate what God does for you. You ever been really, really sick, and God arrested your attention and made you think through some things? While you were sick? Did you never learn if you were always well? We don't stop thinking like that. I remember reading one time D.A. Carson told a story where his wife, who had already faced death two or three times with cancer and made it through, and they were praying for a lady in their church, and, you know, everybody was praying that she'd be healed. And his wife, who's going through all this stuff when it came time to pray, she just prayed, God, you know, we'd like to see you heal her, but if you do not, teach her how to die well. And the ring came unglued. What do you mean? You're not praying for her to be healed? She's going to die. She is going to die sometime. How are you dealing with that? Are you ready for that? We talked about that weeks ago, right? We never talked to our children about the fact that you are going to die. Are you ready for that? And how do you die well? You be ready for it. All of us are going to die. 100% death rate. Ain't that right? Who do we have? Jesus and Enoch? Elijah. That's it. Everybody else dies. All of us. That is it. The Apostle Paul, he never got rid of his problem. Was he godlier than some of these faith healers? I would suspect so. You know, looking at kind of scam they run all the time. The gift of healing was one of the gifts of an apostle. That's what I believe. You know, 12. You know, Peter, Paul was one in due time out of the context of those guys, but pretty much seen as an apostle. That can be verified through the book of Acts. We'll see that unfold. So I conclude, some do, some don't. You don't have to agree with me on that. That the apostles have passed from the scene. When those guys died, the church had already been established pretty much. So some of the things that they were doing, especially in the midst of unbelievers, that time is gone. So you don't exactly need those particular gifts to be exercised in that way anymore. Am I saying God never heals? Nope, that's not what I'm saying. Don't go out here and say, Terry said God never heals. I didn't say that. He just didn't do it and hasn't been doing it the way he did then for a particular reason. That's what I believe. It's just not the same way. An apostle, in fact, was one who had seen Jesus Christ with the exception of Paul, and he saw him because he spoke to him on the Damascus Road, but that's a specific group of guys, all right? Satan and his demons can heal. Do we forget that? Did we forget that Satan is an angel of light? The Bible is full. Let me show you a couple. Just because someone will be a healer and they use the name of Christ doesn't mean that everything they're about is godly. The demons have power still. They've always had it. The devil's had power. He always has. Jesus predicted that false Christ and false prophets and false apostles would arise. Remember what John said? He said the Antichrist are coming and they are already here when John is writing, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He said, false Christ. What is that? It's Antichrist, people who would do things in Christ's name that are not his, that are counterfeit, would perform many demonic signs and wonders. Huh. Matthew 7 indicates, what did they say? Well, Jesus, we cast out demons in your name. That's a miracle. We did these things in your name, signs and wonders. What did Jesus say? I don't know who you are. So don't think for one moment just because someone is healed, it doesn't mean God did that, okay? Because we're gullible. We'll say, oh, God had to do it, or it couldn't happen. Just remember, the Satan and his demons have all kind of power. And they will disguise things to make us think. And what happens, it's just like this. There, you know, there's several forms of black magic. There's a black magic and a white magic. And I don't mean woke. All right? I'm not talking about white supremacy and black lives matter. That's not when I say there's a black magic and a white. That ain't what I'm talking about, all right? Y'all got me? Black magic is voodoo, where people actually have some power and they try to hurt people. That's it. That's the intent. There's nothing good going to come from it. White magic, on the other sense, is when people are trying to do things where they're really not trying to hurt anyone, but they're still delving in a demonic influence. Remember one of these big things that happened in my lifetime called Ouija boards? Remember when they came out? And a couple believers have pointed out, say, you need to stay away from that stuff. And everybody's saying, there's nothing wrong with that. That's demonic influence. Well, just because you do not see it doesn't mean that you don't know how God uses it. I mean, how the devil uses it. That's white magic. Okay, when we talk about white magic and black magic, it's still an influence from a demonic power source, not God. So we need to be careful about any of this kind of stuff. Not just that, any kind. It comes in all kinds of forms. He said, we did all this stuff. And Jesus said, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. I never knew you. But we did all this stuff. He said, I don't know who you are. What does that mean? It was a demonic stuff that was going on. Quite often, it happened. There are people operating on the behalf of Satan in the name of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we need to think through these things and be aware that really what's going on here? It looks like a good sign, but is it really a counterfeit or really what's going on? What are the ramifications of that when it happens if the demonic is influencing it? You see, that's the part. You don't see all the strings that are attached to this thing when it happens, so you get into it, and before long, you're being used by something that you don't want to even be used by, and you might not even have an idea what's going on. You just always have to think, and don't just take everything on the surface. Oh, only God does miracles? No. The devil has power and will have power. Satan functions as an angel of light. He masquerades in the character of Christ and godliness. Paul spoke about that, that there would be seducing spirits. He talked about the doctrines of demons. The power of healing is very often in spiritual stuff, in spiritualism, demonic activities, all that kind of stuff, in white and black magic. You just have to be careful. And I'll just tell you what that is. 2 Thessalonians says, in the latter times, particularly during the tribulation time, there will be a great increase in the working of Satan through delusions, signs, wonders, miracles. And he fools the people. Even, it says, even him, the Antichrist himself, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Please, it's just like Google. Don't ever take everything on there for the truth. Surely you're not that big a fool. That's where a lot of this crazy nonsense of this gender change is coming from. They read on the internet, let it tell you, you end up in a devil's hell if you go by that. Just because somebody prints something doesn't mean it's true. Fact check them, like they did Biden, Trump all the time. Too bad they don't ever fact check Lazy Joe. Hey, I don't know, you might be a Democrat, I'm sorry. If you voted for him, he is a moron times 10,000. And if you can't see that, Lord help you. I don't care whoever his name is, doing what he's doing for the sake of everybody. Hello? I'm not going to get political. Everything's political. Everything. Everything we have to deal with in our life. Where you get your driver's license, where you get your insurance. Somebody's always manipulating it from a political standpoint. You need to know that, okay? Hello. It's already here. It's just going to be really wild in the last days of tribulation. During the tribulation, it will go to the height of ever, the height that it's ever been, all right? But the mystery of iniquity is already beginning to work, and demonic activity is increasing every more. You know, we didn't really know what satanic influence was till we moved to North Carolina. And I didn't realize that, man, there was a wicked church right there in our little small town. And, man, in the first couple of years we were there, there was always people reporting somebody stolen a cat and killed it and they'd found the blood. I'm talking about don't think that stuff is fake, okay? It's real. And you'd be surprised of what goes on behind closed doors by teenagers, not just old people that should know better. Demonic activity, that's what that is. Just because somebody invokes the name of Christ, that doesn't mean anything. You know, how many times did we see that in Jesus' own ministry? If demons can accomplish their person in the name of Christ, you don't think they won't do it? Why? Because they got you fooled. They think you're doing the right thing in the name of Jesus. Watch faith healers often forcing people to be healed in the sense that they may grab them and say, I command you. Isn't that right? I command. You know, they did a pretty good thing on The Chosen on that first episode whenever Nicodemus is going there to cast the demons out of Mary Magdalene. He said, I command you. Yeah, that didn't go over very well, did it? You had to be careful because you don't have the power to command anything. Paul did it. He was one of the apostles. But somebody said, I command you. You don't have that ability to do that. When you see that, you can almost go ahead and register. That's unbiblical. You know, and that's what they do all the time. I command this. It's not biblical. Raphael Gasson was a spiritist medium healer, converted to Christ, and he wrote some of this in The Challenging Counterfeit. This is what he says. There are many spiritualists today who are endowed with this remarkable gift of healing by the power of Satan. I was one of those. He said, I was in that. I knew it. I saw the effects of it. I saw the healings go on. He said, and it was all demonic. It wasn't Christ whatsoever. All right? So he said, I know firsthand. So whenever you start to say, oh, well, that can't be true, he said, I came out of that. That's the way it goes. This same thing happened. Remember in 16:16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, Paul is talking to Silas. He says, a certain maid possessed with the spirit of divination, fortune teller, seer, palm reader. How about that? Tarot card person or whatever you want to call them. You know what I'm talking about, right? They can look in the future and they can see things. I'm not saying that they can't, because with a demonic influence, they can do some of that stuff. So just be careful. Of course, number one, you don't need to go to a palm reader anyway. Come to me and I'll tell you something sensible. And I won't even charge you. All right? Here's a demon-possessed individual, a woman, a medium, who brought her master's much gain. She was making money for him. You know what faith healer do? Here's my first argument. If they have the gift of healing, you don't need to rent out the Civic Center. Go up to the Children's Hospital in Macon. You got the biggest audience you want right there. Go to the Children's Hospital in Atlanta. They don't go there, do they? Where do they go? They'll go somewhere and charge you where you can get in, where they take up a collection anyway, because they go. That's what's going on there. She's making money for them. And she was a demonic influence. The same followed Paul us and cried, saying these things. Oh, these guys, they're the servant of the Most High God, and they show the way. She says that. How about that? What are they thinking? Well, my goodness, we got a new PR agent. Look at this lady. She's going around telling exactly who we are and passing the word along. Paul said, oh, no, that ain't what's going on. All the right things, but from a demonic influence. And what happens? Paul says, and she did this many days, but Paul was grieved to understand this was not of God. So he turned around and commanded the spirit to come out of her, and it came out of her. Wow. She just said that they were the servants of the Most High God. Isn't that godly? Where's it coming from? A demonic influence. You don't know what strings are tied to all that. You can't see all that. That's why you have to be extra careful. When you start delving into something, you do not know all the ramifications of what that's going to do to you or somebody else in your family. It was Satan and demonic. The declaration was accurate to the letter as to who they were and what they were doing. But Paul said, oh, no, no, we can't have this. This ain't good. So what does the word say? What does God's word say about healing? You know, again, there's a lot of people who say, oh, yeah, the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has this and this and this and this. All those are still alive today. Well, we might get into all those details of how exactly that means, what that means. But it really does not solidify the fact that every one of those gifts are always exercised, especially the way we see them today. You know, how many of these other things you see them? Mostly it's the gift of healing. That's when you see the most, ain't it? That's where the money is. I remember years ago, and before I ever left the farm, and I was going to my church, my sister's church, and it was more of a charismatic church, and they had this traveling preacher come in, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. They had a priest of blankets, and you know, he was touching people, and they were passing out, and they were talking in tongues, and nobody interpreting, and you know, I'm just a farm boy, just been reading the Bible on his own. I said, this don't make any sense. Anyway, got to talking to my brother-in-law, who was part of that church, and he said, he asked the boy there, he says, you know, I used to be a pastor. Why are you starting to do this out here on the road? He said, the more money on the road. Huh? It's always about that. You know, if you're not in for the money, go up there to the Children's Hospital. They'll let you in any of those rooms. Go up there and start healing them. Why don't they do that? It's fake. It's for money. It's for show, egotist. It was limited to their time and was limited to God's sovereignty. You don't choose when somebody's going to be healed. That ain't your choice. I don't get to choose that. Not everybody was ever healed. Anybody ever lost anybody in their family? Did you pray for them? Why didn't God heal them? Why didn't God save them? Answer that. Not everybody's healed. They're never going to. We're all going to die. All of us. Some younger than others. When Madison was in the hospital, some of you don't know, Madison was our firstborn. She was diagnosed with leukemia at 4 months, and we had gone through quite an extensive program trying to keep her alive, and we were in Atlanta, and we had had a pretty good circuit of people just because we came out of Mexico and had a lot of contacts really all over the world just because so many people came over there. And somehow or another, somebody in another part of the state called and said, you know, we got a friend who's in Massachusetts. She's a lawyer. But she's had some things happen that she just prayed for people, and they were healed. She said she wants to come down and pray for Madison. Is that okay? I said, sure. We were in the hospital in Atlanta. We stayed up there quite often. But she came, didn't make a big deal, right by herself, drove herself down, flew herself down from Massachusetts, didn't want any money. Went in there, and she said, can I just hold her? So she was holding Madison. She was asleep, rocking in a chair. And Debbie and I just left the room, and she was just praying for her. That's it. Because before she had seen some things, she didn't say, you know, I can heal her. She didn't say that. She just said, I've seen some things happen. I'd just like to see if God's in it. Well, he wasn't. She died. All right? I had people tell me, oh, God's already told me he's going to heal her. He didn't. Not everybody's healed. You're going to die. You know that, right? you're going to die. Every faith healer that's ever lived has died, and they're going to keep dying. That's the issue. Are you ready for that part? It doesn't matter whether you get healed on this earth or not. The fact is, what you're going to do when you die? When you stand before Jesus and he says, you stand before him, he says, what did you do with my son Jesus? Well, I didn't have time. I'm sorry. Depart from me into everlasting damnation. That's not even the sermon, is it? It would be still limited today if that was the situation. If God did continue on the gift of healing, it would be limited. Why? There is no indication whatsoever in the New Testament that the apostolic gift of healing was exercised on the behalf of believers. When you study the context, just like the gift of tongues, there were always Jews present who needed to understand that God wasn't there just for the Jews. So they needed a sign. They needed to see the Holy Spirit do something in these Gentiles' lives, or they were not going to believe, and then they didn't believe. It was for unbelievers. Remember that whole thing when the gospel is getting off the ground, we need something to verify, to confirm the power that Jesus has, and that's what it's there for. After the church gets off the ground and it's going, there's really none. And all you see this day and time is all the healing is done where? For believers. Oh, God owes it to you. You're entitled. You're a believer. He has to heal you. No, he doesn't. And he doesn't. People die. How many people have I buried in my own family? A lot. Why? Because they're going to die, just like I'm going to die. You don't find the Apostle Paul going back to the established churches where he had first started. And he went back there and said, oh, yeah, now that we got this thing off the ground, let's go back and heal everybody. Every day's a Friday. We get healed on Friday. Right? He didn't do that. What did he tell them? Go back there and feed the sheep with the Word of God. Wasn't even talking about it. Didn't even talk about healing. You know, in that movie, Leap of Faith, I think they got that from Popoff's movie. Because you remember what the deal was, right? Steve Martin, he was a shyster. But, you know, his reason was he's giving people a good show for a nickel. You know, that's what he saw himself doing. A lot of these people couldn't go to New York and have all this good music and stuff. So he saw himself as presenting some good, even though it was all fake. What turned it around? Anybody remember? When a real healing took place, it scared him to death. He said, I know the real thing when I see it. I'm done. And he walked away. Fake. Does God still heal? Oh, yeah, can he? Absolutely. Does he always? No. And I don't know why he doesn't. And I don't know why he does. I don't know that. God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul so that from his body where he wrought to, they brought these things. He had that gift. God had blessed him with it. He was one of those apostles later on in life. That's what it was. It's the beginning of the ministry in Ephesus, and he confirms him. This is what you need to do. But he never goes back there and tries to say, go back and heal all these people. That's not part of it. At no point do you find the established church in the book of Acts or after it gets going, you never see a healing ministry. Interesting, isn't it? You see all these other things. You don't ever see them setting up a healing ministry. Why? That ain't the way it's supposed to be. That's not what it was. That is always at the beginning of the outset when the gospel is taken off and the church is being born. There needs to be some confirmation of what is going on to go along with the gospel message to get their attention. That's what it was. You know, I remember when I was just a good night. I'd never been off to Bible college. I was still farming, and I was going to some Christian things down at Georgia Southern, and man, there was an amalgam of people down there, and they believed everything in the world. And one of them was over here in this particular church, and he said, oh, yeah, we got this going on, this going on. And he said, you got to do this. And here's what they tried to push on me, all right, even then. They said, you know, if you got the faith, you just pray one time, and if you pray anymore, that's a sin. I said, what? You know, I know you can't believe it. I was a little bit brass then. I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, no. I said, tell me about Paul. So Paul sinned? Remember what Paul did? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He had something wrong with him. And he prayed how many times? Three specific that's recorded. So Paul was sinning? I said, what about that, guys? I won't say anything then. I said, what does that mean? God said, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient. because in your weakness, I am made strong. You know, if you can fix everything, you're not going to depend on me. You ever thought like this? This is wild. You ever thought that God sometimes finds joy in allowing us to be sick? Because he gets our attention? Because as long as everything's going good, we don't have time for him. When you get laying flat on your back somewhere and you can't see anybody, you can't, you know what I did for the 5 days I was in the hospital? I didn't watch television. I watched Columbo one night. You know, the rest of it's garbage. You know what I did? Thank the Lord, all I had was my phone. I shouldn't have gone in there with more than that. That's all I had was my phone. But I did have some of my Bible app on my phone. I listened to so many sermons. Good sermons. I'm not talking about this trash on television. I'm talking about somebody that you can trust. Hours and hours and hours. Boy, God taught me a lot. Just reading the Word. Laying flat on my back. Couldn't get up. Had a needle in my arm. Why? I don't know if I'd have done that if I hadn't been in the hospital. You ever think about, God has to heal me. What is he trying to teach you? What's he trying to do? He ain't going to get your attention anywhere else. Maybe he needs to break your arm. Maybe he needs to put you flat on your back if he's going to get your attention. You ever think about that? That God thrills sometimes when he allows us to get sick because he's trying to help us grow up a little bit. Because we don't grow up so well when everything's going just right. Meredith's not in here. You know, Meredith's been through a lot of physical stuff the last year. I mean, a lot. And we're still trying to figure it out. It's COVID-related. It's one of those long-hauler things. And Debbie she knows more now than a lot of the doctors she talks to because she spent hours and hours and hours researching. And stuff that she said 6 months ago is now coming to pass. You know what Meredith said the other day? I'm so much closer and understand so many more things about God now since I've been sick. Wow. She couldn't get out of bed hardly for 3 months when all this first started. Not just COVID. I mean, she had mono and she had several things that we didn't even know about. She had suffered a concussion and just so many things we didn't know. It all compiled together. It was horrible. And that's what she said just 2 days ago. I would never be where I am now from a spiritual standpoint had I not gotten sick. When was the last time you asked God to lay you on your back where you could grow a little bit? Oh, I ain't interested in that. No, we're not. Healing. Just because a miracle takes place doesn't mean it's from God. Need to weigh it. Because there's a lot of ramifications out there that could be attached to that that doesn't do good but harm someone. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us, that you tolerate us. We're so full of ourselves. We think the world exists for us and we're entitled to all the things that even our parents didn't have. Father, just break our hearts. Help us see what's important. The only really important thing is our relationship with you. And Father, how that would manifest in how we treat our parents and how we treat our children and how we treat people around us. Father, thank you that you do heal. Thank you that we can trust you in your sovereignty to heal when it's the right thing. Help us be aware. Help us evaluate and look around us at the things that are happening so we do not have any kind of demonic influence going on in our lives. Thank you for your mercy and for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.